Foundations Lesson Number 1, The Word of God, Part 1. The Scriptures, both Old and New Testaments, are verbally inspired by God and are the revelation of God to man. They are our infallible, authoritative rule of faith and conduct. It is therefore most important that we search out God's Word daily, reading it, obeying it, meditating upon it, and relying on it as our source of inspiration, guidance, and power to live a godly life. The Bible is God's book. It's what He's written for us. We know that it's true and reliable because He is true and reliable. There are many things God has spoken by His voice, but there are certain things that God has considered so important that He memorialized them for us by putting them into writing. They're the foundation for everything we believe and do. They provide an anchor for us in all the uncertainties of life. The Bible can be thought of as the manufacturer's handbook of life. When you buy a larger item, you usually get a handbook with it, a document written by those who've made the item, telling you how it works, what you can do with it and what you can't do with it, what it's designed to do and what it's not designed to do, how to service the item, and so on. Those people who handle their purchase according to what's written in the manufacturer's handbook usually get the most and longest benefit from that item. Since God is the creator of all things, He knows best how every part of His creation functions to its maximum potential, what it was designed to do and what it wasn't designed to do, what'll cause it to function well and what'll cause it to be ruined, and so on. If we humbly accept the truth that God knows far more about life than we do, and that His instructions to us on how to live are far better than anything we can come up with, then we'll have the proper attitude in reading His Word to gain the wisdom, the knowledge, and the understanding we desperately need in order to handle life properly, the way it was designed to be lived by the Creator Himself. We would also do well to understand God's purpose in providing us humans with a written document. God longs to be close to you, me, and every other human He's created. His Word gives us truths, illustrations, stories, parables, and other kinds of writing that reveal not only His great love for us, but also what we need to believe, to do, and to understand in order to be close to Him. If one of us were to receive a handwritten note from the Prime Minister of Great Britain, or the Emperor of Japan, or the President of the United States, inviting us to be their close personal friend, we'd probably feel highly honored, and we might do some research to find out about them so that we could talk to them and relate to them more appropriately. That'll probably never happen to most of us, but what we have received is far better. The all-powerful, all-wise, all-loving, all-knowing Creator of the universe has invited us to an intimate relationship with Himself. There's no greater honor we could ever receive than that. Then, to top it all off, He's already provided a written document that tells us about what causes Him pleasure or grief, what's important to Him, what He expects from us, how He interacts with humans, and so on. We would have no idea how to live in order to please God unless God had revealed that to us. So, graciously, He's provided His Word to meet that huge need. So let's go to Roman numeral number 1 on our outline. The Bible is God's Word. One author has said this: the oneness or unity of the Bible is a miracle. It is a library of 66 books written by over 35 different authors in a period of approximately 1,500 years. Represented in the authors is a cross-section of humanity, educated and uneducated, including kings, fishermen, public officials, farmers, teachers, and physicians. Included in the subject are religion, history, law, science, poetry, drama, biography, and prophecy. Yet its various parts are as harmoniously united as the parts that make up the human body. For 35 authors with such varied backgrounds to write on so many subjects over such a long time span in absolute harmony is a virtual mathematical impossibility. It just plain couldn't happen. Then how do we account for the unity of the Bible? The only adequate explanation is that, quote, men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And that leads us to the first point on our outline. The Bible was written by God the Holy Spirit. If you'll notice on the outline, just beneath "the Bible was written by God the Holy Spirit," there is a Roman numeral 2, Timothy, the number 3, followed by a colon, and then the number 16. I'd like to take out just a minute to explain what all that means. If you turn to the table of contents in your Bible, you'll see that it's divided into two sections. The first section is called the Old Testament. The second is called the New Testament. If you look at the first entry under the Old Testament, it should say Genesis, followed by Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and so on. These are called books of the Bible. So the Bible contains a total of 66 books, 39 of which are a part of the Old Testament, which starts with the book of Genesis and goes through to the book of Malachi. Then, the remaining 27 books of the Bible make up the New Testament, which starts with the book of Matthew and goes through to the book of Revelation. If you find the 16th book of the New Testament, you'll see that it's called 2 Timothy. If you turn to the book of 2 Timothy in your Bible, you'll see that it has 4 chapters. Chapter numbers can be larger, bold numbers flush with the left margin of the text, or they can have their own heading, depending upon how the editors of your particular Bible decided to print them. Then, the text of each chapter has very small numbers in order interspersed throughout it, which are called verse numbers. So, going back to the entry on the outline, Timothy with a Roman numeral 2 in front of it refers to the book of 2 Timothy. Then, the number to the left of the colon refers to the chapter, in this case, chapter 3, and the number to the right of the colon refers to the verse, in this case, verse 16. So, if you find 2 Timothy 3:16, it should read something like this. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Now, if your Bible doesn't say exactly the same thing, don't worry about it. When the Apostle Paul wrote the book of 2 Timothy back in somewhere around the year AD 63, he didn't write it in English, as you can imagine. He wrote it in an ancient Greek called Koine Greek. So, for hundreds of years, many people have undertaken the job of learning Koine Greek just so that they could translate the writings of the New Testament into languages people use on an everyday basis. I, for one, am very grateful for their work. In the English language, we're blessed to have dozens of translations of the sacred scripture, but we have to understand that no two translators think exactly alike. So there will be some variation in the English words used. Bible translation is, after all, highly complex work. By the way, the vast majority of the Old Testament was written in ancient Hebrew, the vast majority of the New Testament was written in Koine Greek, and very small amounts of Aramaic were written in both Old and New Testaments. Also, in the additional resources section of this webpage, you'll find a document that gives the abbreviations that are used on this website for each of the books of the Bible. All the lesson outlines at foundationofthefaith.org have the Bible books written out, but many of the other available documents contain abbreviations. Going back to 2 Timothy 3:16, the truth of this verse is clear. All Scripture, and the word Scripture simply refers to the text of the Bible, all Scripture is God-breathed. It's been breathed, authored, or inspired by God the Holy Spirit. Now, every book of the Bible has one or more human authors, but this verse gives us the greater reality of what was happening when they were writing. God was breathing upon them, inspiring them, so that the words they ended up writing were exactly what God wanted to say. Isn't it exciting to know that the great and awesome God of the universe chooses to do some of his work by flowing through human beings? If you've surrendered your life to God by accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God would even like to do some of that through you. But we'll get into that more in future lessons. For now, let's go back to our outline and look at this next scripture reference. 2 Peter 1, 20-21 says, "Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." The Greek word for carried along is a word that appears only a few places in the New Testament. One of them is in the book of Acts, chapter 27, verse 15, which says, "The ship was caught by the storm and could not head into the wind, so we gave way to it and were driven along." So we can envision a violent storm on the Mediterranean Sea, and Luke and the others that were with him on the ship realized that they were powerless to oppose the storm, and so the storm was simply driving the ship along. Wherever the storm wanted the ship to go, that's where the ship went. In the same way, wherever the Holy Spirit wanted these authors of the Scripture to go in their writing, that's where they went. They were carried along or driven along by the Holy Spirit. I suspect that most of them had little or no idea that they were actually writing Scripture when they were being carried along by the Holy Spirit. But God is well able to work through any human being without their even being aware of what He's doing through them. Be that as it may, the final result was that the Bible was written by God the Holy Spirit. That's what's important. We should also be encouraged that for those of us who believe, the author of the Scriptures has taken up residence in our lives, and He, the Holy Spirit, is well able to give us understanding, insight, and illumination into what we're reading. If you'd been alive back in 1610 and you were reading a Shakespearean play, say, King Lear or Romeo and Juliet, and you were having trouble comprehending what the author meant, if you were able to travel to where Shakespeare lived, you could have asked him for the meaning. Since he wrote it, he could explain it. When we're reading the Bible, there's no need to travel to have a meeting with the author. All we have to do is ask. What God has written, He's more than happy to explain, and that's a great benefit to us. And as we ask Him the questions we have, we begin to experience Him as our teacher, which is an important aspect of our relationship with Him. So because the Bible was written by the Holy Spirit, the Bible is infallible, which is the next point on our outline. Jesus Himself said, and I'm quoting John 10:35, "And the Scripture cannot be broken." Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 and 18, Jesus is speaking, He says, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished." These verses also show us God's tremendous watch care over His Word. Nothing will disappear from His Word until everything is accomplished. For hundreds of years, the Bible has been the object of great antagonism and persecution. Bibles have been burned by the thousands. Corrupt clergymen have even chained Bibles to their pulpits under the guise of not wanting the common people to misinterpret what was written, but actually to hide their own twisting of God's sacred message. Men who translated the Scriptures into the language of the common people were burned at the stake. The blood of many holy men and women has provided us with the access to God's message we enjoy today. But despite all the fierce resistance, the Bible has survived, and it will continue to survive. God's holy book is more readily available today and in many more languages than it ever has been in all of human history. There's still an enormous job that needs to be done, but progress continues to be made. Numbers 23:19 says, "God is not a man that He should lie, nor a son of man that He should change His mind. Does He speak and then not act? Does He promise and not fulfill?" 1 Samuel 15:29 says, Samuel is speaking, he says, "He who is the glory of Israel does not lie or change his mind, for he is not a man that he should change his mind." There are a few things you'll never hear God say. You'll never hear God say, "I didn't mean it." God's words are so full of integrity because He is so full of integrity that He always says what He means and means what He says. Another thing you'll never hear God say is, "Oops." That's right, oops. God is never caught off guard or unaware. Everything that's happening today He knew thousands of years ago would be happening today, and He carefully oversees every detail of it. And in the Scriptures we just quoted, it's clear that God will never say, "I changed my mind." He's never fickle or haphazard in what He does. Proverbs 30, verse 5 says, "Every word of God is flawless. He is a shield to those who take refuge in Him." Psalm 12:6, "And the words of the Lord are flawless, like silver refined in a furnace of clay, purified seven times." I'll admit there are some things written in the Scripture that would appear to be contradictory, but in actuality, the words of God are flawless. Let me give you an example. In Matthew's Gospel, in the account of the crucifixion, it says that two robbers were crucified with Jesus, and both of them, along with quite a few other people, heaped insults on Jesus. In Luke's Gospel, the same scene is described, But Luke records that only one of the criminals crucified with Jesus hurled insults at him. The other turned to Jesus and said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." To that Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." So some people have asked the question, which one is the true account? Which one is correct? The problem with that question is that it's already concluded that one of the accounts must be incorrect, and that's where the problem lies. Jesus was crucified at about 9 o'clock in the morning. He didn't die on the cross until about 3 in the afternoon. What if Matthew walked by at 9:15 a.m. and witnessed both robbers hurling their insults at Jesus? What if, 2.5 hours later, the eyewitnesses that Luke got his information from watched the repentance of one of the criminals who by now had experienced a change of heart? That would mean both accounts are true, they just took place at different times. We have to understand that all Scripture is true. When we come across something that appears to be contradictory, we need to ask ourselves, what could have happened that makes both these accounts accurate? If you can't think of anything, I encourage you, pray and ask God for the answer. He'll let you know how they both work together in perfect harmony. After all, the Bible's His book, He wrote it, and He's more than happy to help any of us understand it. There's one more verse I want to mention regarding the Bible being infallible. Amos 3:7, it says, "Surely the sovereign Lord does nothing without revealing His plan to His servants, the prophets." You can ponder that verse for quite a while, but it tells us that God announces His plans before carrying them out. And that's another way we can appreciate the divine authorship of the Scriptures. In the additional resources section of this webpage, there's a link that opens up a document on fulfilled prophecies. You can download it if you like. That document gives 23 of the prophecies about Jesus Christ, which were written down as part of sacred scripture by about 400 BC. All the references are written on the document, so you can look them up if you choose to. My point is that God's telling us in advance, with 100% accuracy, what would take place, shows us that He, who is the beginning and the end, is the author of the scriptures and that they're completely reliable. When I was a 20-year-old college student, the fulfilled prophecies of the Bible were an important factor in bringing me to the point where I gave my life to the Lord. Being an atheist at the time, I had no explanation for how something could be written down hundreds of years earlier and then be precisely fulfilled. Granted, someone could have tried to fulfill some of the prophecies, but none of us has any control over where we're going to be born or if we'll be betrayed, and if so, by whom and for how much money. You get the picture. Since I couldn't find any other reasonable explanation, I had to conclude that the Bible really did have divine authorship.